Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts, Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
Wow.
Goody, 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 gum drops.
I did a lot of shit today.
I did a lot of shit too. There he is.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of shit.
I shit a lot today.
You shit a lot today?
Thank you for sharing. God.
It's one of those days, Charles.
I thought I was agreeing with Aaron.
I did a lot of shit. I didn't do a lot of shitting.
That's what I said.
Okay.
You said you did a lot of shitting.
That's what I thought he said too.
That is what you said. Anyway.
I think he pretty much said that.
There's Eric. Can he hear us?
Eric. He's smiling, so he can hear us.
There he is.
Yeah, he can
He's
hear us.
All right. Dude, look at your background, bro. That's
fucking dope.
I know.
That's gangster. That's the best background ever. You win the prize.
Thank you.
Yes, he does. Man, look at that shit.
That is cool shit.
Dude, this is the first
now
time.
Now be careful. You're going to start a fight because Peter Anthony's pretty proud of his background that he always has too.
Yeah, oh, he is, huh?
He likes that.
He'll be on next week.
Well, you're proud of yours too, Chuck.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I like ours, but it's just.
I'm proud of mine.
You got your dog.
But he's not even.
He's
wait,
not even in the shot.
Hold on. He's in the shot now.
Oh, my God. His ass is.
His butt.
There's nothing like a piece of ass, let me tell you.
Anyway, all right. Well, no, I did a lot of shit today. So deliverables I started, DVDs I started. What else did we do? Reached out for the campaign.
More crowdfunding.
Yep, mm-hmm. I did all that stuff.
Backer hunting.
And this is
we're hunting for people.
Yes, and this is important because guess who's doing another crowdfunding campaign?
Who?
Our guest today is. How about
that's
that?
Right.
Did you see that fucking segue? My Lord.
That's great. That's
no, but stuff. They sure to shit did hear it.
Yes, they did. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
We are too, man. We are too.
Yeah, we are too.
I'm always happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Alive, living, walking the planet.
Sometimes I'm not happy to be here, but I am today.
That's facts. No, dude, it's about time we got to meet you and talk with you. Even though it's virtual, it doesn't matter because I can still see you. I can hear you. So it's better than just your photo and then all the posts you put up, right?
Yeah. I mean, I will say, though, that I did watch The Outrider when that came out.
Oh, man, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, an OG fan.
Yeah, and that was us thinking,
and he's still talking to us.
I know, and that was us thinking we were filmmakers.
Hey, that movie is a real trip. You know, I thought, I think I watched it on Tubi, and I'm like, okay, cool, we've got a noir piece, and then, like, demons started popping up, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I did not see that one coming.
Oh, nice. I like it.
That's what I was trying to do, but what we found out, I think, is that sometimes Aaron can put too much in a movie and it won't work.
Well, it's a little long.
It's too long.
It's too long.
It's way too long.
It's still shorter than our first film.
No, that's true.
That is true.
The big one.
And it's a lot less confusing than our first film.
Well, you say first film. I mean, we made a feature back in early 2000s. And that's
I go back
really
to the con.
I know.
Those stuff.
I mean, we can go to the Lost Book of Kai Par when the visual effects had the clouds floating through my head. I mean, that was some magical shit. Let me
but
tell
that
you.
Wasn't a full length.
That actually was an hour.
It was?
Yeah.
That was an hour and 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I'm thinking
anyway,
about, what about Snake?
We're not talking about our dumb shit. We're talking about Eric.
Okay, let's get
our first fan film, Snake.
Yeah. We've been doing this a long time. But
yeah,
anyway, it's not about
well,
us.
Well,
this
thank
is about
you for watching The Outrider. That's cool.
It is.
That is kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't want to be like critical because I'm a guest here, but I would say, like, it was a little long, but it's so inventive and ambitious what you guys were doing, and that's why I started following you because I'm watching Aaron slugging out with demons in the back of a pickup truck, and I'm thinking, okay, I want to be friends with these people because.
Awesome.
Dude, that's so sweet. No,
that
and you
is.
Can be
no,
totally
cool.
critical with us.
Yeah, you can be critical.
I would love it because I think
Aaron
that's
loves that.
That's the good learning stuff because, you know, when you start making movies and you see your movie for the first time and you're like, dude, this is the shit. And then like a year later, you watch it and like, what the fuck? And then 2 years later, you're like, oh my God. You know, it just happens sometimes. Sometimes. And then when you get to a certain level, you start not looking at it that way and you're like, no, it's still not too bad. but I could have done this better, that better. That you kind of start eliminating like the things because you're learning.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly it. My, like some of my early films, I had preferred not to talk about because people would just say, "Oh my God, why did anyone support this jerk?" But yeah, as you get further along and you practice and you study and you work with, and you start finding a way to work with people and communicate with them, I would say definitely as a director, I started off like getting my friends to be in movies. And then there's a huge jump between getting professional actors to be in movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say
we love our friends. We love our friends for doing it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah.
Of course, we always will. And they did great. But yeah, there's a big difference than a big jump when you go to professional actors. There is.
No, I was going to say, a lot of my friends now are professional actors.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I think to myself, well, awkwardly, they say, don't cast your friends. And I'm like, yeah, but what do I do?
Maybe you inspired them.
Those are professional actors.
You inspired them, maybe. Yeah.
No, that's dope.
Yeah, I just upgraded my friends to actors.
Yeah. Well, see, this is a good segue too, because he already just said he's got professional actors that are friends, that were friends before that became professional actors. Now we're making friends with professionals, and we just went through something that hurts when you have a friend that you think you've made through this industry. And it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. No, that's an interesting concept. So Eric, I'm going to ask you. So these are friends of yours before they became actors. Do you think that this industry and working with them could cause an issue on set? Or do you have a deep friendship with them where it wouldn't? Like Chuck and I have been friends for 30 years. I can call him a piece of shit. He can call me a fucking N-word if he wanted to. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you. And then we'll go our separate ways and we'll be like, hey, how you doing? We'll call him the next morning. It'll be fine. I mean, that's what we do. You know, but...
Oh, yeah, that is a really interesting question. I have to say, my best friend of this world, I kind of forced him to make movies with me. Funny story.
Is that Aaron and Chuck we're talking about?
Love you, man. I love you for that.
Okay, yeah, here's the funny thing. His name's Daniel Husser, by the way. He's the co-writer, producer, and VP of Dumb, fundraising. Is that I used to say, it was around like junior high, like, hey, want to come over to my house and play video games? He would say yes. And okay, at a certain point, he kept falling for the fact that I kept putting him in like my short films.
Okay.
So at a certain point, I'm thinking, dude, if you haven't caught on by now, it's kind of on you. But what's interesting is that he actually got into more behind the scenes work.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Because he really liked being behind the camera, although I do give him ridiculous cameos and things. He's mm-hmm. kind of like our... I'm not going to spoil his cameo for Don, but it's going to be hilarious. But like in one film, we have him as a guy who, you know, runs over somebody, or another guy who's like gets killed first in a horror movie and you see his hand drop.
Right,
he's
right.
He's like, I need a guy to do this. You're doing it.
you're that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, you know, when you make friends in the industry, there's a ton of great people in the industry. Don't get me wrong. I think, though, the ones that are, let's just say, more selfish or opportunistic will weed themselves out pretty quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it really sucks when that happens.
Yes, it does. You couldn't have said that any better.
No, he couldn't have. See? I knew it was a good segue. No, it's great. No.
Yeah,
Eric,
no, you feel it. You feel it definitely.
Yeah,
so.
it's
It's hard.
Yeah, it's not as easy as people think. I mean, there are people that are able to separate, you know, the business side of this and the emotional side of things, right?
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people aren't. Yes, Sam, you're not. So it's harder for certain people. I don't like to do it. I know Chuck doesn't like to do it, but we can, you know, and then we just keep moving on, you know, and it is sad. But there is a piece that you feel has been lost if that happens. But, you know, then something else happens, and then you feel full again, and then you just keep on rolling. I mean, that's what else you're supposed to do.
Just keep eating.
Well, and I think the thing is, though, is that you need so many people to make a movie. You really do. You can't do it by yourself. So you need so many people. And you do develop friendships with those people that you work with.
So we call them family.
And yeah, we call them family. And we call them family for a reason, because they are a family. But yeah, it does suck when things go wrong, mm-hmm. and disagreements happen, and you're no longer want to feel like you want to work with those people anymore. And that is sad. That's really sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's like it's like not talking to a family member anymore, really.
Well, Chuck said it really well when it happened. He was saying, you know, it's like a breakup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a breakup. And you've got
to get through that first 24 to 48 hours, and then you can figure out how things are going to settle from there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Hard.
But
interesting.
I'm emotional, so I just cry. Yeah. And cry.
Gotta figure out what weekend you're going to get the kids. I mean, you know, you got to figure out, you know, who's going to take the dog.
It's almost like that. You almost exactly. feel like who's going to get the rights and where are they, you know, this shit going to go.
That's actually a great point, Sarah. That's funny.
I will say, though, I think we all are into horror for some reason. I think that you have a campaign coming up on the 19th about that.
Yes.
Which I am extremely excited for.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Whenever that, let's just call it that, breakup happens, I start writing up a horror script and absolutely get very creative with a kill with a suspiciously named similar character.
What a great way to do it. You are a gangster. That is so cool. That's what we need to do.
Jesus.
What a great idea.
You morbid fucks. What's wrong with you guys?
I mean, look, I am a very petty person. I have embraced about myself that I love movie violence. I'm not a violent person in real life, right. but I played a ton of Friday the 13th over the pandemic, and I'm just thinking, okay, now then, name withheld, we'll get bitten in half by a flying, you know, fill in the blank, and then I'm like, okay, now let's make a film around this.
Totally get it. I totally get it.
I want to make an entire movie around killing you.
See, welcome to the family, Eric. And then you just get a new family member and you just forget about it.
And that's right.
Which is a nice time to say, welcome to Around the Real.
Welcome to Around the Real. Welcome to the family, Eric.
Oh, man. It's a pleasure having everybody. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, you definitely made the coolest.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I mean, when we have interviews like this, we do it so different than most shows, because I've learned a lot about Eric already without asking him one question about who the fuck he is.
Honestly.
You know what I mean? That's what's so fucking cool about it. And that's what I love.
We're still going to ask you, like, who the fuck you are, but what he's saying is true.
Yeah. We might be a little immature about it, but we're still going to get to the point.
Right. We'll get there. So, Eric, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience?
Okay, well, hey, everyone. My name is Eric Franklin, and I am a filmmaker, actor, and comic book artist based in Seattle. Basically, I love telling cool, imaginative stories, whatever field that is. I tend to go to like sci-fi, horror. Okay, I do everything but rom-coms because I can't take those seriously. but the point is that like I'm an indie artist, and really, it's like I love watching like homegrown movies. You know, stuff where like as soon as Tubi was invented, I found my station, because I get so inspired by seeing like these backyard productions of these filmmakers just trying their best to pull something off, and occasionally you find a real gem, and I'm like, hey, I like these people. And okay, and if you don't, you can feel really good about your creative work then.
Yes, I totally know what you mean.
Yeah, it's a, oh god, you watched one of my movies on Tubi, didn't
you? Oh, no, I didn't say that. No. Stop.
Okay, I would say please don't, but but anyway, pretty much that's what I'm about. I wanted to be a filmmaker since I was six. It's like...
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I saw Star Wars, but this was before Lucas got his hands on it. My dad had a VHS copy. Mm-hmm. Saw that, thought it was like the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Then I think it was like a couple of weeks later, they did like some making of special on TV. And my mom was like, Eric, you have to watch this. I watch it. I'm like, wait, people make this? this is a thing people can do. And since then, the idea of having a office job is like never been in my field, you know.
Yeah, you made a right choice, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's like I've played office workers plenty of times, and I'm thinking, nah, I'm good. I'm good watching The Office, but but yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, trying to you know, get our next film launched, which is Dawn. And I don't know if I'm segueing into this.
Oh no, you're fine. Please go. Talk
about
it.
We're gonna ask you anyway.
Okay, so Daniel, my aforementioned friend, he and I have a company, Franklin Husser Entertainment LLC. We paid for it, and they make us say LLC, so I like doing that. Anyway, we're working on another film. We were just doing some post work on it, and this is some years ago. He comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, Eric, I have this great idea for a movie," and with us, I can't tell if it's a joke or serious or not, because we oftentimes we give ourselves like the crappiest log lines you can think of. Just to
beautiful
see
if thing.
But he said, "What if we do a sci-fi interpretation of Dawn? Like it's modern day, but instead of windmill, it's a robot. Instead of a this or that," and he goes on with this thing. I'm thinking, man, you're serious. Put all the work aside. Wrote out this big outline in one day. And then, you know, sat on it for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when we came back to it, we're like, yeah, we're doing other projects too. We're almost finishing up on our cyberpunk feature I'm really excited about. We have another dark comedy that's in sound post now. But so, like, what's our next project? And Daniel, who's had Dawn on the back burner for all these years, has said, let's make Dawn. So we're doing it, and we're raising funds on Indiegogo for it now.
That's awesome, buddy.
Yeah,
that is fucking awesome.
We will link it this podcast, and definitely let's get your Indiegogo going.
Yeah, let's get it
going. Let's get this movie made. Well, I want to see it.
Well, what I've learned is your campaign ends in May. Is that correct? So.
Yeah, ends May 22nd, I want to say.
Okay, so by the time this show gets out, it may be closer to the end of April. So I don't know when people will be listening to this, but when they listen, it'll be a push.
Plug, plug, plug. Get out there.
Plug,
go grab it, everybody.
Plug,
and
yes.
Hit this guy's campaign and help him out. Because Eric's a fucking savage. I can tell you that already.
He's awesome. He's a fucking badass. We love Eric.
And, yeah. Go ahead.
I will say that Aaron has kindly backed us a bit.
Aww.
So so thank you for that, Aaron. And I'm going to hit you back up on your own campaign, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how this works. We all got to stick together. We got to help each other. You know, that's the whole point of this show, what we do at our company. I'm sure you're the same way, where you just, you know, you got to combine forces to make something happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we're also working. We work with some of the same people too. It's like
Natalie,
who's Mazzoni. She's our co-lead of the film.
Great actress.
She's
love her.
She's awesome.
She's amazing.
We treated her like shit on set.
Poor girl. I know we did.
No. We treated her well.
I had to say that.
We tried.
That's why I had to say it, because I know Chuck will jump in. No. Dude, we had her out almost butt ass naked. With 22 degrees outside, Chuck?
It was so cold. God, yes. That poor girl.
We took care of her, though.
Love
we did
her.
Our best.
She was such a soldier
she's
about
a
it.
Fucking savage.
Great
I love
attitude.
Her yeah, she's awesome.
She's a phenomenal actress.
She's great. She's great. I love her.
Yeah, no, she really is. It's like, actually, she was telling me about your shoot when we shot our test scene for Dawn.
She's like, I was freezing my ass off.
Actually, it's funny. She says things. You've seen her. You know she's like a real badass.
She's a fuck around. Yeah,
she's
yeah, she's
awesome.
Savage.
I mean, it's like she's built like an action figure, and I'm built like a fanboy.
That's why I didn't take the role.
But the funny thing is, her like, yeah, it was a bit cold, and I was covered in blood, but it was a lot of fun. They were great people, you know.
That's sweet of her.
That is so sweet.
I mean, she's saying this all with a big smile on her face, and I'm thinking, if Natalie's saying it's a bit cold, then, you know, like birds were freezing in trees
no
or something.
Shit, no shit. Right.
There was
dead.
Frost.
Fucking
yeah.
dead
on
birds
the
everywhere. Those fuckers. It was fucking freezing.
She's
I felt
savage.
So bad. I mean,
she is savage.
All I kept saying was, well, at least it's not raining. That's all I had. I had nothing. Yeah. I had nothing.
Yeah, she. Yeah, she is. She's an actress who's like, what I really like about her, besides her professionalism and talent, mm-hmm. is like she brings a ton of reality to every performance. Like, I've seen, like, there are people who audition and I think that you belong on Instagram, you don't belong in a movie of like where everything comes too perfect and polished. And Natalie and also our lead actor Norman, they bring a ton of reality to this piece.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
I definitely think when you're doing stuff that's like weird or surreal, and in particular I'd say with the horror genre too, thinking about because I watch all the CCC Universe movies, because I'm thinking it's been for fucking ever since we're gonna got a Friday the 13th anything, so yeah. I'm watching, you know, what I can get. But you know, I'm watching it and I like the fact that where you put your emphasis artistically. Is that I'm like, yeah, there's gore and scares and it looks professionalism, but I've noticed that the acting is like cut above most fan films. And I think that's just due to, you know, the people you hire. I have never worked with Amy, but I met her at a Comic-Con. Funny story about that is like she was like staring at me across the way, like for like a while. I was manning a booth. I had a booth there and she's looking at me like this for, but I keep looking over and I'm seeing her and doing this, and I'm thinking, okay, either I owe her money or I'm way sexier than I thought.
It's the sexy thing, bro. You know it is. You know it is. She could take her eyes off.
Okay, well, remind me to hit you up for a bigger donation.
Always work in the crowd. Good job, Carlson. That's what I'm here for. I'm gonna choke.
You're gonna kill us by the end of the show, Eric.
Keep going, bro. I love it.
Okay, but anyway, so she comes up to me eventually and says, "Hey, don't you make movies also?" Hey, yeah. She's like, "Oh, I didn't know you did comic books too." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I do both." And you know, she was kind enough to buy two of my books, and then we were talking and stuff. But yeah, it is so funny seeing like. Because the Pacific Northwest is a small community.
It is, yeah.
I think that's a good thing and a bad thing in a way. It's like,
yeah, you're right.
The bad thing because word travels fast, but I would say the good news is word travels fast, and right. You know,
yeah,
bad apple or weed it out.
You could stab yourself in the foot real fast here,
and
you can also build your craft real fast here.
Yeah, if you're doing things right, these actors and these crew members and these professionals that are up here that really are trying to make something happen in this craft, they will return.
Yeah.
If they don't, you fucked up.
You did. You did.
Yeah, you fucked up. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's the beauty of it. And I think that should keep everybody fucking humble if they think that way, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and I think if you burn a bridge, you know, I was going to say if you burn a bridge, mend the fence. And I thought, yeah, but that doesn't solve the bridge problem, Eric. Trust me, guys, I am a professional writer, just not when speaking.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, rebuild that bridge, I feel. But we're submitting, we have auditions open now for Dawn, and one thing I am proud of is like with the funds we've raised now, and yeah, it is a smaller crew, smaller like locations, but we're able to get about 2 to 3 smaller days of filming done.
Mm-hmm.
As is now, and I'm excited about that because we're going to get a lot of these actors that are auditioning in scenes.
Yeah.
But the thing I think is great is like people I've worked with before are still you know, saying, hey, can I audition for this and things like that. And I really respect that, even though, as you said, it's a bit of like a family dynamic going on. But at the same time, I don't want to give anybody work just because they're my friend.
Right.
And it's like, okay, Name Withheld is auditioning just like everybody else. And then there's a jerk like me who casts himself in a small role in the first place. But
Aaron's that jerk too.
Yeah, I don't take the small role though.
No, he takes the biggest one.
Yeah, I got to do it.
No, oh, that's going to be my next feature, but I don't want to demoralize everybody involved in the production.
Yeah, right. But you're an actor too. You're a filmmaker and an actor. So, I mean, you do both, right?
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine, he's a very successful playwright up here, Andrew Lee Creech. He's known as Andrew the Scribe on TikTok. Okay. I just wanted to give him a plug there.
Good for you.
It's always good to plug your friends.
All right. <Jim. laughs>
when we were in high school at Ken Lake way back, oh god, I don't want to think how long. It's like they were doing a Romeo and Juliet, and he said, you need to audition for this, because if you want to be a director, because I told him I want to be a director, he's like, you have to learn about acting. And so I auditioned for it, and I got the prince. Basically, if you're not familiar with Romeo and Juliet, think of like the Angry Mayor in every cop movie. Mm-hmm. And like I arrive after the carnage and basically say the Shakespearean of like, what the fuck is going on here? What the hell is wrong with you people? Like, Romeo, I want your badge and your gun. Sorry, that's me improvising. But I really enjoyed the acting. I mean, okay. I was convinced that I got cast because I could memorize the lines better than other people.
Wait, okay. What part did you do?
But since then, it's like I really enjoyed the acting, took it seriously, and studied at Freehold Theater with John Jacobson, and now I'm studying at Mighty Tripod with Angela DeMarco and David S. Hogan.
Okay. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I love those two so much. But they too are like you, like all of you. They're doing a lot to promote the craft up here, get other actors and things like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, what's interesting too when you write yourself in for a part, is I think that there's a difference between like an ego trip and writing a role you'd be cast in.
Oh shit, are you serious?
Sorry. Actually, they asked me
His
to tell you this.
Not as good.
I appreciate it, Eric. I'm learning here. Keep talking.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, Eric. And I was going to say, I knew that you wrote and directed Outrider, for example. But also, I see you on screen. I'm thinking, okay, I buy this guy as a private detective. You know, if the name had been anyone else's director or whatever, I'd say, I see why this dude's cast. Sure.
That's actually really nice.
That is really
I've never got a compliment on my acting, not once, ever.
You complimented better than us.
The only compliments I ever got for acting was myself.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm like, quit acting your own shit.
It was out of necessity, Eric. You know? It was out of necessity.
Yeah. Those mirror exercises are very important, okay? You're going to be Leo one day. Dude. You're going to get that Oscar.
Do it all the time. No one's ever known. Like, Sam has no clue what I'm doing in the bathroom most of the time.
I have a clue.
She
I
has an idea.
It.
She thinks what I'm doing, but she has no idea what I'm really doing. She's in there thinking, oh, you're on your phone again? You know, and I'm like, no, I don't do that. If I do that, I'll do it right next to you. I don't care. However... I'm in there trying other stuff.
Why?
I'm trying to act in the mirror. God damn it.
Okay, that's between you two and Jesus.
But the point is that honestly, what are you talking about?
I think though it's like one of the things I tried to do with like there's a part of a deputy in the film.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, okay, I haven't played it's like I met up with a friend of mine, Nicole's, and she's making her first horror film too. So we were just hanging out and talking, and The funny thing is I sent in an audition for her and she ended up not going with me. So the entire purpose was to find out what... I'm just kidding, we're friends anyway, but... she said, thank you for submitting, but I said, so I'm curious, why didn't you go with me? What could I work on as an actor? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, actually, no, I really liked your acting, but the part required two hunters, and you don't have like a grizzled hunter look to you. You look too urbanite, too city.
Okay.
I just said,
you got called Purdy.
Well, thanks, man.
That's two compliments you've gotten today for being sexy. Two. Just remember that.
One was from a woman, though.
No, that was me.
Exactly.
Oh, whatever. Motherfuckers.
Don't worry. By the end of the show, you'll get one from a woman. Trust me.
Oh, one day. Oh, sorry, I think you slid into my DM. But anyway. But the point is, what I found really interesting is, like, with that feedback, I took the script again. I'm thinking, okay, this deputy character, he doesn't belong in the small town. He's out of place. And I think I'm really good at looking out of place.
Got it.
So the funny thing is like I'm working with Daniel, and we're like, what we do is like we shortlist everything.
Okay.
And that with room for spontaneity.
Sure.
But like we shortlist our film, we're going through it all, and then I said, hey, can I run these lines through with you? So, and he said, okay, sure. And I do the character that it's just like change up your posture, alter the voice a little bit. And I mean, this is me as myself, and the character I'm playing now, he's very precise. Tense, very tense, but I just want to let you know that it's not personal. It's just I talk like this. I do my lines like this.
That's awesome.
I'm like, oh man, I just want to hit you so hard. he meant that in a good way. He said, you remind me of an old boss I have. He was so passive aggressive. And I thought, well, that's good because I don't remind you of me.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's the whole fucking point.
No, that was really good though.
That's great, dude. That's great. So you got into acting to learn how to be a better director.
Yeah, and then I decided to take jobs from other actors.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it does help you quite a bit as a director.
It does.
Yeah, certainly makes you more empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that people love to make that joke when an actor says, what's my motivation? We're not saying that because we don't know what the character is doing. We're saying, because here's, okay, I was on a student film directed by a director who didn't know how to, he knew where to put the camera.
Mm-hmm.
He could tell you why the camera was there. He couldn't tell you why the actors were supposed to be doing things.
Right.
As in, like, he said, okay, Eric, you're going to enter from the kitchen, you're going to stop here, and then you're going to stand over there. And I said, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to be difficult on set, but I'm thinking, and why would I leave the kitchen in the first place? Our character, my scene partner, it's like she and I had a tense relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not the in-your-face kind of character. So I'm thinking, I'd just be hanging out in the kitchen if this was a proper shoot. Now, I didn't want to be difficult.
Right, no,
I'm thinking, you're not telling me why I'm leaving. You know,
right.
But even if he said that you want to be confrontational, but you're nervous, I'm thinking, well, I've been in that situation. I know how to act that. So, you know, you kind of have to invent stuff on set all the time.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm glad you said that because that is the point. And that's how we all do it when we're making our films.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we write this shit. You know what I mean? But naturally, you know, what works and what do you guys think? And when they get on set, you know, they're like, I won't forget what Ira was saying. Why are we walking like this? Why are we going here? And I'm like, well, because we just needed to do it this way. And then I stop for a minute. I'm like, yeah, Jesus Christ, good fucking question, Ira.
Why do we walk away from all the vehicles?
Yeah, and he's asking these questions, but that's why I loved him.
The best actors ask those questions.
They should, because us as filmmakers, writers, and directors, we're not going to get it all right. That shit we bring to the table is the foundation.
without right? the detail. That's kind all of it like is. Without the background.
You, if you open your mind and let other people collaborate with you, they're going to give you some shit that you didn't even fucking think of.
And the best actors will ask you all those questions because yes. they want to know like the reasoning for everything.
Yes. So
like, why am I doing that or why am I saying that? Those are the best ones.
So to answer your earlier statement about, you know, you're watching our films and the acting seems to be a little bit better in our indie yeah. films than most, it's because of that.
Yeah.
Because we let them be them.
True.
We let them be them.
Developing yeah. their yeah. own characters and ad-libbing things and making it their own.
Yes.
It's important, I think.
I think it's the most vital piece that is missing from a lot of these indie films, because I think a lot of the filmmakers out here on this planet that are just starting out have that ego and they believe that their way is the only way, and it's not. They're missing the point. They're missing yeah. the point.
Yeah.
I will say that guilty, that was me when I first started.
It's very common. Because,
yeah, you know, if you've grown up loving movies your whole life, you do well in film school, and then you're just thinking, well, all I have to do is one indie feature, then Hollywood's going to come calling.
Of course.
Fast forward, it was shit. And I'm not blaming anybody but my own ego and myself. Like, the actors were all friends of mine, and they did a terrific job yeah. with a script that needed a lot more time put into it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had this ego, and then when I went on the IMDb, like, boy, that was humbling.
IMDb don't fuck around.
No, yeah, they don't play.
They'll kick you right in the dick. They don't play. IMDb does not play.
And it's like, yeah, it sucked, but I think sometimes when people say, don't listen to your haters and blah, 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 and I'm thinking, no, these people don't know who I am. They're just telling me this isn't good enough. And I don't want to say, no, I won't listen to somebody who hates me for no reason. But if someone doesn't like my film, I'm like, okay, sure. Let's have a dialogue. What can I improve?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that actually did help, because I think if that first movie got nothing but positive reviews, I'd be making the same mistakes, but bigger. And been even worse. But yeah, I think that allowing the actors to be themselves is fantastic. I'm glad you guys embrace that. I read something a while ago that they said, yes, you wrote the part, you stayed up all night writing these characters, but then when the actors come in, they have to live and breathe these characters and make it truthful. Mm-hmm. And like our lead actor, Norman, he's reading the original Don Quixote book, and the first thing he said is like, boy, this book is really thick. He's going through it, but the thing is, like, he didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But he's taking it upon himself to make the film better. And then, you know, on set, it's like he has this father-daughter relationship with Natalie, his co-star, playing Sanchez. And the thing is, like, I, you know, the two of them, I just had them hang out for a while and talk. And the thing is, like, I think everybody in the world gets along with Natalie. She's right. just like one of the nicest people. And Norman is just really, he's charming, he's funny, he's self-depreciating, but has a lovable quality. And then, like, just that brief time to get to know each other then translates, you know, to film
yep.
way better than, you know, actor one, actor two. Okay, you now have a lifelong friendship. Action.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You give them time to do their thing together.
Yeah.
And it yeah. comes up on screen. I believe in that so much. On set, we're the same way. The vibe that's on the
dynamic,
set,
the it's dynamic, important.
Yeah. If we're having a great time, it shows up on screen mm-hmm. every time. If there's any drama ever, which we've never had any yet, but I always think if we had drama on set, we might as well fucking just dump that day. It's not gonna work. It's just not gonna work. I think yeah. that magic is in us, and if it comes out, whatever way it does. On camera. I don't know why. That's what I believe. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're always joking around and having a good time. Yeah. That's it.
We had a shoot day like that when we were doing The Outrider. Aaron went from being the overexcited 12-year-old boy bouncing off the walls all the fucking time to all of a sudden being the 80-year-old grumpy man who was hungry, needed a sandwich and a nap.
And I was burnt out.
And I was like, you know what? That's it. We're wrapping.
We called
it. Come back tomorrow. Start over.
Yeah.
Was I there that day?
No.
I must not have been.
No, that was the hallway scene in The Outrider. I forgot about
that. I remember when you came
home
from that.
I was overwhelmed as fuck. Yeah, it got me after a while. And then I knew I was no good for anybody. There's no reason to be around this. Yeah.
Which is why we don't shoot 12-hour days anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. No, keep everybody in that good space, in their headspace. I'd rather go out another day than,
Well, yeah, and your vibe is going to carry on. So if you're in a bad mood, it's going to carry, you know, it's going to trickle down to other people.
Well, especially, if you're the director.
Oh,
you know what I
mean? Especially then, especially.
Yeah. You're the fucking quarterback. You're the team lead. You're supposed to be setting the example. If I'm in a shitty headspace, everybody's fucked.
Yeah, you're not scoring any touchdowns.
Not at all. None. It's flag after flag. Yeah, okay, offsides,
I
would Aaron.
Direct your attention to all the comic book stuff behind me. I have no clue what you're talking about. I assume these are football metaphors. But,
they are football ones.
They are. I played football.
Aaron played football.
I tried to write and draw comics, and I did a few, but I'm not like good like you are. Look at that shit.
I know.
Him.
It's amazing.
That's fucking crazy. And I saw your crow picture, by the way, that you posted. Okay. Dude.
Thank you, man. That's a little like
that's some James O'Barr shit right there. You did
stupid
it's
good. It's
fucking
cool.
Amazing.
Like, wow.
Okay, first, I appreciate that. I'm grateful. I'm not quite at. I don't think I'm at like O'Barr's level, even though I am influenced greatly by him. I will say though that when I saw the new Crow trailer, I was very much annoyed.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm thinking, okay, I have to put some real Crow back into this universe.
Yeah.
I'm
with you,
but
100%.
But yeah, no, I think that definitely what you're saying that the vibe of the set is very much dictated by whoever's in charge. For our prior feature we did called Dearly Departed, we had like a big party scene, and it was set in an outdoor garden, and at that point it was the most like actors I'd ever worked with at a given time. And other than like a table reading, but everyone's just reading the script.
Right.
You can't say like, stop. Can you do that line better? Go. You can't do that at a table read. But like, yeah, I was a bit nervous. I mean, even though everyone there was really nice and professional and prepared. And like, I realized that, wait, I'm an actor. I can't act like I have imposter syndrome. I have imposter syndrome. I have to act like I don't. It's funny because Angela was in this scene, and she said, apparently, I forgot what I said to introduce the day. I said, okay, everybody, you have to listen to me because I'm the director, and that's what you should do. So, I said that, just keeping it light.
Yes.
And there is something about directing. It's like you have to make a call and just make a call. And if it's the wrong call, okay, readjust and move on. But yeah, you're right. You have to keep up that bravado a bit. Keep up the cheer. And the thing is, like I love cracking jokes on set. But the point is, like, You shouldn't like roast people, especially if they're like, if you're doing like your first films, like, oh, if you got an actor to work for free for a day or something like that, unless you're really good friends with them, I wouldn't roast them as much.
I wouldn't recommend that either.
but
it's like, okay, like somebody like Natalie, she and I, we've worked together now plenty of times.
She's got a great sense of humor too.
Oh God, yeah. She roasted me back, so it's fair.
Nice. I figured.
But yeah, we did a short that on YouTube. You can see it's called Terror for Two, where she and I are a married couple.
Oh shit, I gotta watch that.
Yeah. We're at the stage where we stop crying for each other, you know? It's just like I'm very unkempt and she's just like, whatever. We're at that stage, and then it's a horror comedy where she was a final girl for from a slasher, and I was haunted by a ghost.
Okay.
And we thought, okay, the two decide to attack us on the same night. But I bring that up just because prior to that, she and I both acted in a film where our characters were just like friends, and she gets into a relationship with some other guy. Mm-hmm. In the next film, she and I are married, but I brought a prop wedding ring. Now Natalie, who is married in real life, says, "Oh shoot, I didn't have my ring on there." I said, "Would you leave it at the other guy's house now?" You know. The things like that, little in jokes, I think, definitely help the production move along.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Man. I think it's great. That's how you build relationships with people. Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, that's.
Yep. I have a total off the wall question that is not anything what we're talking about and completely changing the subject. But that picture right on your shoulder of the girl, with the red.
Yeah.
Are they, do you, now this is your art, right? Correct?
No, that one is not mine. No.
Oh, okay. I'm curious about it because I need that in my life.
It's pretty much you, Sam.
It really is, I love that.
Okay, that character is a hell witch.
That's pretty much Sam.
Perfect.
I think she's from Coffin Comics. I hope I'm not getting that wrong, but I was at Emerald City Comic Con.
Okay.
And
Is that where you bought it from?
Yeah. It's like, I go around and I love supporting indie artists. I'm thinking, Marvel, you've already got too much of my ticket money.
Yeah. Literally, though.
Like DC, do better. But I keep trying to look at these indie titles, and what's interesting too is I think this applies to filmmaking, just art in general. It's the people who are really excited to share their product are the ones I start talking to. Like these two guys, I think from Scotland. I mean, came all the way over here. They're pitching me on this horror comic that they did, and one guy's accent is very thick. But you can mostly understand him, other guy a lot clearer. But they're telling me about how great it is, and I'm thinking, okay, fear of missing out kicked in, so I bought some of the issues. And this guy too is passionate about his work. So so it's stuff like that too, like when you're pitching your horror verse, it's you can't be humble about it. Like, hey, here's our movie. Be nice. Don't, we tried our best. I notice it's very, very, like, exclamatory. Very, like, hey, do you want to see more Friday the 13th? I sure as fuck do. Here's more of that.
That's me.
That's Aaron. That's me. And he swears by that. That the more excitement, excited you are about your shit, the more excited other people are going to be. And that is true. Because Aaron could sell ice to an Eskimo. Literally, your excitement.
If I'm excited about it, yeah, and that's the thing I love to see, and that's why it's like even with Eric, the way he's been posting on his thing, it's the same thing. You can tell. Yeah. You can tell that someone's really excited. It draws you. Well, he gets excited when he was at the cons to see somebody pitching their shit. Yeah. Right? And they sold him on it. He's like, oh, you don't even know what the fucking project really is about, but you love the guy. You love the people. You love the creators.
Excitement.
They believe in it, And if more people looked at art that way and saw that magic that's inside them, that they're so excited. How do you not? It's like watching a little kid get excited when you give him a fucking ice cream cone, and it makes you feel good. That's the magic.
Well, the thing, I think Sam Raimi, who's a huge hero of mine, he said like something like, if what you think you're doing is cool, chances are someone else is going to think it's cool too.
Yeah.
Now, and now the thing is like, going to Comic-Con, for example, you hear like, you can hear well over 400 pitches if you stop at every booth. Mm-hmm. And also the thing is like, I went on day 4 and I know for the creators, cause I've tabled before too, it is a long, long con. And some people, even if the burnout was getting to them, they're still slinging it in there, man, And there was I will say, I did cosplay as Michael Myers at Comic-Con. And, it was funny because one of my friends, even though he was really tired, he didn't obviously know it was me. But I pull off my mask. I'm like, Henri, it's me. And he's like, oh, good, I don't have to give you my pitch. but the point is, like, yeah, you want to get people excited and hyped up for your project. And the thing is, even if I may not 100% like a project, I will like you or the creator.
Right, right.
Yeah, like I mean, like I don't want to sound like I'm stalking you guys. I just see you
please.
On social media.
Stalk the fuck out of
us.
That's the whole
point
of marketing.
Stalkers.
The more stalkers, the better.
Yeah, it's I think Well on a Way is coming out soon. You're working on deliverables.
Yes.
By the way, it reminds me of the old joke of, if there's a will, I want to be in it.
I didn't expect that.
And I'm thinking, okay, it's a documentary. Admittedly, documentaries aren't my first go-to for watching things.
Yep.
But because I like your team, I'm thinking, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I'm probably going to end up liking it. But I think that, you know, that just has to go with creators being excited about their projects.
Yeah. Their work. Yes, their work.
It really does matter.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
And honestly, I have watched stuff that I felt like I wouldn't have normally liked if it wasn't for the excitement of the person who made it.
Correct.
And I feel like I like it. I liked it more watching it because of that excitement.
Mm-hmm.
It does matter. And it matters in how you watch it and how you view something.
Yeah. It puts your mind in the right place when you go into it in the first place, because you're already in support mode. You know, you want it to be great.
Yeah. And I've actually thought to myself after I've watched something, gosh, I wouldn't have normally liked that.
Right. Even if it's
but
sci-fi,
I did.
Sam.
But I did this time. And why did I? Well, because I loved who made it.
Yeah. How many
and I
filmmakers?
Loved their excitement.
How many filmmakers have we had on this show that have sent links that we ended
were something
up, we didn't watch beforehand.
Right.
We watched after.
Right.
And you were like, that was a great movie. And I'm like, it's sci-fi. You hate sci-fi. And she loved it. You know why? Because she loved the guy who made it.
I love them.
She loved the guy who
made it. Right. Yeah. So it does matter.
It
and
matters.
That absolutely matters. And so people's excitement for their projects and what they're doing in their art is important.
Yeah.
That's
and
why.
So if I introduce you to George Lucas, will you like Star Wars?
She probably
might.
Would. Yeah, because George Lucas is
if
a shit.
If
he's
George
funny
Lucas
as fuck.
Isn't a dick, I might.
He's not. He's pretty funny. Well, he might be a dick, but he's a fun dick. I like him. Go ahead, Eric.
No, okay. I'm just, I'm sorry. It's just like everything was going so well when I heard that somebody didn't like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Did I blow this whole podcast? I'm
I know.
Sorry.
No,
I know everyone loves Star
Wars.
She
loves Star Wars. She likes taking a 3-hour nap.
No, I'm like you. Star Wars influenced me when I was a kid. I remember standing in line. I was 4 fucking years old, and I still remember it. I don't remember watching the movie, but I remember standing in line for it. Which
I remember
crazy.
Asking mom if we had any blue curtains so I could try and set up some models, and I had no idea.
I didn't really care because I
she
was
didn't
like,
care.
She can't really even have it.
But see, she grew up differently. She didn't get it. She didn't,
I didn't
get
it.
It. She didn't
I
get
still
it.
Don't get it.
And she still won't watch it to this day, Eric. And it
no,
drives
I do.
Me nuts.
I've seen it.
You've never watched Star Wars.
I have watched it.
Not with me.
No.
That's
you
bullshit.
Watched it.
Then you haven't really watched it unless you watch it with me.
You realize that when it comes to Star Wars, there's 300 episodes or movies or something along those lines.
Can you guys just accept the fact that I don't like Star Wars?
I've accepted it.
I accept
it. But do you know how influential that movie was for storytelling?
No, I agree that it was influential to a lot of people.
In crazy ways.
A lot of people. But, yeah.
Okay,
I
do have a little Star Wars-ish anecdote beyond that being the reason I got into film.
Don't hate me, Eric, because of that. Just don't hate me.
Okay. Okay, so
he's gonna slide into your DMs, don't worry about it.
Oh, Aaron, nice Han Solo there. But
go for it.
Okay, so I was a weird little kid, to the surprise of nobody, but I grew up absolutely loving Darth Vader, but not for the reasons everyone thinks.
Like the shiny helmet.
Yeah, there was that too. But here's the funny thing is, like, it meant a lot to me that Vader was really, like, he takes the helmet off. He's got all kinds of medical issues. Then you watch episode 3 and you realize, oh man, he got fucked up.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love the fact that this really disabled, sickly person was, like, the biggest badass in the entire universe. You know,
that's a great way to look at it.
I absolutely love that because, yeah, growing up, you know, like, okay, I had really bad asthma. I was the butt of a lot of jokes in school, but I love the fact that this guy who also had breathing problems is like, oh, sorry, he can, like, choke you from a fucking distance if he feels like it.
Fuck yeah.
Like, Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. Our hero goes to challenge you. I'm gonna cut your fucking hand off, kid. And basically, you can't convince me that Luke knew that escape hatch was going to be there. He just tried to self-check out.
Yeah, he did. He was done. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, but I realized later, and I think when I started developing characters, because, you know, when you first start coming up with stuff, like when you're creating things as a kid, it's so derivative mm-hmm. of what you just did, of what you like. I mean, you could argue that everything you do now is derivative of stuff that you like. I mean, this, a guy who's working on a Spider-Man fan film talking to, like, a horrorverse fan filmmakers.
Yeah.
But, you know, for our original content and stuff, it's like, okay, like Don, okay, derivative of the novel Don Quixote. No, duh. It's an adaption of that. But with that, what we're also doing is saying, okay, Don is a nobleman in the book. Well, I don't really like rich people, you know, or oligarchs nowadays.
Right.
And no, and it's not just because I'm not there yet. It's because
they
I'm thinking,
suck.
like, if I want to create a character for the audience to relate to, it's not going to be somebody who lives in an ivory tower. So,
not many people can relate to that.
No, not at all.
I mean, I will say when I play the Hitman video games and I'm in all these rich places, that's about as close as I get.
I'm with you on that too. I know exactly that feeling.
I love that game. I love that game. It's the best.
All of them.
Yeah. God, I really want to get the remaster of Blood Money, but that's a whole other conversation.
It is. We can do that after the show.
Yeah,
you can give each other your gamer tags after the
Sorry,
game.
Yeah. It's sexy, I know. Grown men playing games same way.
It's hot.
But no one ever.
Here, if you want to, like, hang out later and watch The Mandalorian and play Hitman together, I'm totally down for that.
I'm with you, bro. I got you. Sorry, Sam. You're out.
That's okay. It's okay.
Okay, but kidding aside is like, yeah, you make a character relatable, but not in the Hollywood checklist way of like, okay, we see them, him, her, whatever, pet a puppy. Then we see them, you know, help an elderly lady across the street. Then I think it's more like a hero or heroic character shouldn't be some, I think this is my own personal philosophy. The audience should like aspire to be part of them. Like, even if it's not like, even if not 100%, like, I do have a little ritual before I embark on every film project. It's like, I watch El Mariachi, the definitive low budget, you can do it too movie.
Right.
And I watch it. You look at the mariachi and he's basically a really amiable guy in a bad situation, but you can tell he's a nice guy with a good heart. He just got, man, he picked the wrong effing town.
Yeah.
I don't know why I censored myself there since I said fuck earlier. But,
that's okay.
But I think too is like, but and I'm thinking with Don, like, okay, he wants to help people. He wants to be the hero.
Yeah.
Interestingly, because I'm thinking, because we all make horror movies where people connect with the horror villain quite a bit, or at least I do. Maybe I should be put on a watch list, but. The point is, I think, say something like Friday the 13th, where, you know, I'd say the better made of those films, the opinions vary, but amongst the victims, let's just be honest, there's at least somebody you know there, or you can recognize an aspect of yourself in one of them.
Yeah.
It helps if they're likable. I will say, though, some people, later on when they stop trying as hard, just like, oh, I want them dead.
You want them all dead. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, But I'm thinking,
but those
like,
are great. I mean, those are great parts too, though. Well, yeah, you want but to die, that, I mean,
when all of them though, like all of them is bad. Like when we did our last one, we wanted one character at least be that way, and that was Logan's part. You got to have at least one.
In the
right?
shape it was, it was.
It was Amy's part. Amy's part. You want yeah. that bitch to go. You know, that's how we kind of portrayed it. But I wanted more substance in those characters when I was writing it. Like, I always go back to Flatliners. Like, I liked all those characters in Flatliners. Like, I thought they were all interesting and they were all kind of fucked up, but they were all kind of cool. And I'm just like, you know. It's one of those things where
oh,
I always
it's like real
more.
Life. We're all kind of fucked up, but we're
yes.
all kind of cool.
And I think that's what we were talking about earlier with Eric, about like having a realistic foundation in these grand stories. Like you can ground them and yet it still can be crazy. And I think that's why like there's elements of Star Wars that works, even though it's this opera, this space opera, there's still moments in it that we all can relate to, which makes it so fucking good. That's why it's so yeah. good, Sam. And you're missing that, Sam.
No, anyway, I'm not missing it. I mean, I've seen it. I'm not missing it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, when you're developing a character, and particularly when you're collaborating with an actor, it's like what I try to ask an actor without getting personal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, do you have any experience with this? And I always say, you don't have to tell me about it. Just, you can say yes or no. And like, and... I mean, to be frank, it's none of my business of like, oh, you went through a bad breakup with so and so. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking I'm not here to be your therapist, I'm here to shoot a film. I want to see if you've been to that place. Right. Then you can pull from that.
Bring mm-hmm. some emotion.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Chuck does that on set. That's the guy who does that. He says that all the time. You do it all the time, Charles. Whether or not someone's comfortable with something or if you're asking them about the scene that's happening, you do that a lot. Where I don't think twice. I'm just like, yeah, just fucking do it. It'll be fun. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I won't lie in that one of my dream roles is I want to play the idiot who gets killed at the beginning of a horror movie just once in my career. Because I'm thinking, you know, I want to be the guy who's just like, he's like making out with his girlfriend in a car or something and hears a noise, goes to investigate and gets killed. I'm thinking that is the emotional gamut. You go from love, you go from suspicion, anger, then you go to fear. And I'm thinking, hey, David Mamet takes an entire play to do that emotional range and you get that and a death scene. See, five key factors. That will be my entire acting reel.
We got one more movie to make after this one in the horrorverse, and we haven't finished writing yet. We should write an opening for Eric.
Seriously,
to have that
though,
moment
honestly.
In
America's
the horrorverse.
Dream death.
But, fuck well, yeah. And That'd Eric brings cool. up a really good point that I want to kind of elaborate on.
Go
because
it,
he, in what he was saying, I kind of took out of that. Well, took out some of what he was saying. I took out of that. In the earlier stuff you were saying, not in just what you said, but that, you know, it's important that you can identify with characters in the shows, in the movies. And we're talking about Star Wars, and I don't really like it. Well, I'm not really a Princess Leia, and I don't really like King Kong either, but there's characters in there that I can, I'll watch that before Star Wars.
Okay.
Because there's characters in there I could see myself being, and I think that's part of connection is such a good, it's such an important thing with a movie.
You're talking about relating to it.
I'm talking about relating to it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm talking
yeah, yeah.
about being able to see yourself as being one of the characters.
I get
whether
it.
It's out there or not.
Okay.
Just
wait,
being.
Wait, Sam, you're a mom.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're a Jedi, and you're trying to teach your fucking Padawans who won't fucking listen to you no matter what you tell them. That's fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, but you gotta be able to see. I needed to be able to see that. Not be. Like, I didn't identify with really
you have to
any
watch
of
it
the
to
characters.
See it.
But that doesn't mean
the choice
that I don't
is yours.
Like...
You can make it or don't make it, but whatever
yeah, exactly.
happens, you have
to
deal with the consequences.
To.
I fucked up. Can you give me some more training?
I
no,
was
bitch, I told
to say
you.
That Eric had a good point here, okay?
He did.
No, but I don't know if that's exactly what you were saying early on when we started that conversation, but I think that that's what you kind of were going towards was that if you identify with something or someone in the movie that you're going to connect to that movie and you're going to then
yeah,
like it.
I mean, I wasn't paying attention when I was talking, so I'm glad you were. I think though, but I think another thing too is like audiences do want to see themselves on screen. Like, okay, look, even in a, even though I said I'm not much of a rom-com guy, it's the same principle applies to say something like an action movie. You know, like you want to see some, you want to see somebody like you fall in love with somebody who you want to be with.
Right.
You know, and like in an action movie, you'd want to see a character that either you are or you can aspire to, you know, kick ass over people that you genuinely dislike.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
And to me, it's like love stories, action movies. They're like two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely.
They have horror is its own beast, thank goodness. But what I feel about them is like, also, if the character makes the same decision that you would, you know, it's like I find either or dilemmas fascinating in movie. Sorry, I don't know if you could hear. There's a plane flying really low over here.
You're fine.
The surveillance drones are getting a lot less subtle.
Here. That's interesting.
But anyway, before that flight of people interrupted my train of thought, really. There we go. It's like, I think that either or scenarios are very interesting in films of like, okay, how do I solve this problem? Like, you know, just like, okay, either, I mean, just think of Spider-Man, for example, you know, either save Mary Jane or let this, you know, these, you know, car full of people die.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Spider-Man got to have his cake and eat it too. He saved them both. But still, it was a great scene in the film that illustrated the point. And I think, you know, in I used to play a lot of the Telltale games. Shout out to Wolf Among Us if anyone's a fan of that.
I never played it, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay, the Walking Dead series is great too, but they have like the, you know, either save this character or save that character.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that, like the hard decisions that I think people really enjoy watching as an audience member. And it's also great to have a dialogue, you know, even like you go to see a movie, you know, with your friends or your partner or whatever. You see a character make a choice and you either agree or disagree, and you can debate about that rather than saying something like, that was okay.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, like if or even I've like I saw that movie that Love Lies Bleeding a little bit ago.
Okay.
And for the most part I thought it was pretty good, but have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it. No.
Okay. I'd be really interested to hear your, if you ever do watch it. It's like the movie's going, then the climax just makes you go, "What the fuck?"
Okay.
like and not even in a good way of like, I didn't see that plot twist coming. Literally, I kept thinking, like, you guys just like fumbled the ball right as you're about to make a touch. That's a football thing,
that
right?
That's a football term. I was just about to say that. Ooh, look at you with all those posters behind you too.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Well, I mean, Marvel did do Semi Pro, which is a football related comic that I never read either. But
what you're saying is making me think of like Choose Your Own Adventure. Like, remember, Aaron, when we went to that Choose Your Own Adventure in real life? Like, it was...
That's the whole point of storytelling, I think. Yeah. And I totally know where Eric's going with all this. That's why it's so fascinating. It's great. There's a movie on Apple Plus that I just watched a trailer for it. And it's got Marshala Ali, is that his name, in it? What the fuck? I showed you the trailer, Sam. Here's the pitch on the trailer, Eric.
No,
before we end the show, we gotta get this in, and then we gotta him pitch his campaign stuff more. This film sets it up, and I haven't watched it yet, but it's basically dude's dying of cancer or something, a terminal illness, and he goes to this facility, and they have a way to clone him, so that he can send the clone back to his family, so they never know he's fucking dead.
I know that, yeah.
And he'll know, and that clone will have all his inner thoughts. Everything he's ever known is there. He's fine. And the dilemma in the trailer leaves you with, like, he doesn't know if he wants to do it. And I'm like, well, I got to watch this because what the fuck does he do? Because I'm not going to like let that happen. I want everybody to know I'm dead. And Sam's like, I wouldn't do that. I would let you guys think I'm alive. And I'm like, wow. How about that?
That's the dilemma is with his family. What does he do? Does he tell them what's going to happen? Or does he not tell them and let them just go on thinking that he's that guy?
And not only, Eric, did I think that was a great storyline, I was also mad that I never thought of it.
Oh, dude, yeah, I was... Yeah, no, that I agree with you. That's a great pitch, great logline. Yeah. Now I want to see it. My thought is... Guys, my ego is way too big. Everyone's gonna know I'm fucking dead when it happens. Because that's just the way it is. I'm thinking, like, now we're having the epic Viking send off for me.
Yeah, everybody's gotta know.
I'm not much of a boat person, but if you want to put me on Lake Washington and like set the raft on fire, I'm cool with this.
You're good, right? Yeah, let them know.
I'd actually kind of prefer this now that I'm saying it. But the point is that...
Doesn't sound half bad.
It's badass, dude.
I just talked myself into it. Okay, mending that, though. But the point is, like, yeah, it's a great pitch. I know how you feel about wishing you thought of something first. I wished I thought of The Quiet Place first.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. The enemy of all low-budget filmmakers, sound.
Sound.
Yeah. It is the brilliant, one giveaway right? of yeah. a... let's just say a backyard production to become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genius. If they did a movie where they eliminated most of the dialogue and we could comfortably just do this folly at home, and I'm thinking, John Krasinski, like, you weren't successful enough already.
Yeah, genius. It's genius. Because, you know, sound design in those movies are great. They're great. But they didn't really have to worry about cleaning up fucking actors' dialogue, did they? No. They did not.
No.
Man, dude.
You are so fun to talk to. We never want to end this conversation.
No, bro. It's... dude.
But we have to.
It's fucking good. I'm so happy we finally got to meet and chat.
I know. Super.
Dude,
yes.
No.
You're awesome.
I've been following a long time. Like, I want to talk about Spider-Man because I know that's been a long project you've been working on.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. We could talk to you for hours and hours.
But why don't you go ahead and pitch Dawn one more time. Let people know what's going on with that so we can help you get some funding. And we'll get you on the show again.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. I would love to be back Absolutely. Here. You've all been great, and I hope to be in a CCC production.
Oh, fuck God, yeah. We'd love that.
Oh, that's going to happen. I can tell you that right now. That is going to happen. Oh, yeah. That's going to happen.
And to be clear, since this is recorded, it has nothing to do with the donation, right? Like the amount of speaking lines. No, is not,
I basically gave you some money, and you're going to give me some back, and then we help support our projects on the fucking what we need. It's fine. It's a wash.
I'm just kidding. I'm just roasting myself and you. Okay, so Fair here's enough, the pitch for Dawn.
Okay, please.
Modern day adaptation of Don Quixote with a sci-fi twist. Dawn is a humble local electrician, gets along by everybody, but he's worried because he's starting to see things that may or may not be there, including a potential government conspiracy that threatens the entire town. So it's up to Dawn to stop this, or is he imagining the whole thing? If you want to find out, you can back us. Look at Dawn the movie at Indiegogo.com. Holy crap, he just got another donation, which is awesome.
Best pitch ever, anyway.
yeah, just got another donation. Every little bit helps. The money is going directly to feeding the cast and crew. And also giving them a salary, because it's important to me to make sure that people can have a sustainable living making art up here in the Pacific Northwest. We're not LA, we're not New York, we're not Georgia. I'd argue we have some advantages over those places. We're not oversaturated.
Yeah.
We're not, it's a group of small, passionate filmmakers, and you know, this campaign is just like, it's a little movie that could, and it's like Dawn. It's the small guy taking on the giants. And I'd love to say, and winning. I'd say it's a spoiler alert, but if you read the novel Dawn, or Don Quixote, let's say that the ending could go either way. If you want to find out which way it goes, back Dawn.
Eric, you're a badass. Thank you. Everybody out there, please check out his Indiegogo. All right, and that check is Don. You guys got to help him out. Help him make this movie.
Any amount counts. Any amount matters.
It all matters. Up. And if you can't donate anything because of these hard times, please share it to people that you know have fucking money so that they can maybe throw a few bucks his way to help him make this and his actors and the cast and crew. Dude, you're a badass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Chuck, do your thing, bro.
Eric, thanks for hanging out today on Around the Reel. Send it to the pitch man. Let him do it. Okay, so be like me, everybody. His crowdfunders will be coming to an end soon. Be like me. Jump on there and donate like I just did when he got all excited and said, somebody just fucking donated. That was me, bitch. I'm doing it because I got your back. Everybody has to get each other's back, so make sure you guys keep doing it. Now, while he amends his will to add me to it now since I've donated to his cause, I'm going to go try and find some bowmen so we put him in Lake Washington. They start shooting flaming arrows. They don't all go up his asshole because that would be really uncomfortable, and we all know that Aaron's the only asshole on the screen. So, thank you for hanging out today, buddy. Thank you for thinking about all things creative. We love you. We appreciate you. We look forward to seeing what you're doing. I look forward to killing you on screen because, let's face it, bitches, that's what I do. I am Jason Voorhees. I'm from the Horrorverse. This is Around the Reel. Everybody, think hard because you're thinking anyway.
We'll see everybody later.
Bye. For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
How come they can't just message me again?
Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.